The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello there, I'm your host Peter Strachan. Welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. Now, Jade Gas recapitalised late in 2021 through a $7.5 million new issue on the back of prospective coal seam gas assets in southern Mongolia. The company has embarked on an extensive appraisal and pilot gas testing project with early, very positive results being reported. Here to bring us up to date with the company's activities is the company's Chief Executive Officer, Chris Jamieson. Welcome, Chris. Can you first begin by telling the listener about the career path that has brought you to Jade?
Thanks, Peter, and good to be with you today. Yes, well, I mean, my path has been one that's very much had a financial focus. Historically, started with accounting, worked for Normandy Mining, but ended up more on the M&A side of things at Normandy. After Normandy, I moved to Ernst & Young, where I worked on the transaction side over in the UK and in London and San Francisco in America. And so I did that for 7 or 8 years. Came back, ran a family wine business, which was an interesting period of my life and very challenging, but most enjoyable. And then after that, I moved into the oil and gas side. And that was with Beach Energy. And at Beach, I took on the role of investor relations manager and started the investor relations function there. So I was at Beach for around about 8 years, and in the end I was in charge of the external affairs area, so on the executive. And then after finishing at Beach, I went out and started a consulting practice. And so the consulting practice was very much focused on capital markets and investor relations, which is sort of now my area of expertise, as well as oil and gas. And so after 3 years consulting, an ex-colleague from Beach who was driving the Jade Gas IPO, we would keep in touch, and the opportunity to come on as the CEO was raised. And I grabbed it with both hands. And really the main reason for wanting to be part of the Jade Gas team is that the story is quite compelling. And, you know, we're based in Mongolia. We have a permit down in the South Gobi Desert, which is, I guess you could say, highly prized in that it is adjacent to the Tavan Tolgoi coal bed coal mine. And what we're doing is looking for gas from the extensions of the coal mine. So if we are successful with this project, it could be game-changing for Mongolia as a country. It's really looking to decarbonize through an improved energy mix and cleaner fuel sources. So natural gas is obviously one of the key ways of doing that.
Yeah, so Chris, Jade must have picked up on previous drilling in 2019, which in the basin, which showed potential for coal seam gas in this basin. How has that work informed Jade's current 6-well exploration and appraisal program?
Look, it was really important, Peter. So the 8 wells were extensively cored. So there was around about 5,000 metres of core taken out of those wells. And what they showed was that, well, one, there was a lot of coal seams were underground in the areas that they were drilling. But more importantly, some of those were gas bearing. And so the only issue they had back when they did it in 2019 is the technology wasn't in the country to properly assess the coals. So while it showed great promise and certainly was the foundation for the current drilling program, the information that was received or gathered from that program wasn't quite enough to sort of say, look, we've got something that's commercial here. And really that's what we're looking to do with the current program.
Yeah, so I gather that the resource certification organization, RISK, RASK, has used this data to estimate prospective gas resources in the basin. So can you describe the known Tavan-Tolgoi coal seams and Jade's tenement position over the field?
Yeah, look, absolutely. RISC completed what's effectively an independent report that was done actually as part of the listing on the ASX. So RISC has estimated that the permit itself has a prospective resource of 1,044 billion cubic feet of gas, which is BCF, or just over 1 TCF, which is actually quite a substantial amount of gas. Now, this prospective resource, I guess if you looked at it in terms of categories of risk, is most probably the highest level, because it's risk sort of looking at the area that we have around our permit, which is 665 square kilometres. And they've had a look at the previous drilling program, and they've said, assuming the gas saturated zones or the gas bearing zones go across the whole permit, then there could be a TCF in place. So we have that report, but the next step is really turning that prospective resource into a contingent resource, which will come from the information gathered from the current drilling program. So the TCF of gas and the permit itself is held by us. We have 60% in the permit, and the Mongolian government have 40%. So it's a joint venture. It's held by a company called Methane Gas Resource, which is the joint venture company. So it's nice having the Mongolian government involved as well.
Yeah. So is Jade paying 100% of the initial work, or is there some sort of heads up? Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be paying 100%. There's a cost recovery element. So when it comes to the revenue side, when we commercialize, or should we commercialize the field, then we would effectively be reimbursed as revenue comes in from the government. So they would start receiving money once the full costs that we've incurred on their behalf have been paid.
Yeah, oh, well, that's a good way to go. So Jade's activities in the coals are pretty much at a ideal depth of between 500 metres to about 1,000 metres. So would it be fair to say that Jade's activities will not impact on existing coal mines in that part of Mongolia, which would be much shallower?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. I mean, coal is mined at the surface, and it's done that way because you don't really generate enough revenue from the coal to justify going underground or going at depth. And I think the key thing to get across is that while we are drilling into the coals, we're not actually chasing the coal itself. We're chasing the natural gas that sits within the coals. And this normally occurs around that, as you said, 500 to 900 meter area. And within that permit, we've drilled the first well, Red Lake One, and we intersected in total 145 meters of coal. And of that, 58 meters were gas bearing, which is an outstanding result. And of those coal seams that we're chasing, there are three key seams of interest, and we've labelled them seam 4, seam 3 and seam 0. And these ones are sort of at the deeper parts, anywhere between 500 to 900 metres. And they tend to be water saturated, and when they're water saturated, it means there's likelihood that the gas will be trapped on the coals. So they're the ones that we're really focused on. And they are away from the Tavan-Tolgoi mine, which is at the surface, and then the seams dip down deeper, and the water saturated ones are the ones that we're chasing.
So, Chris, let's dive in a little bit more detail about that result you've just put out. And can you write, and after that, we'll just talk about the program ahead for the two exploration wells, and then the following four wells that'll be cased and prepared for dewatering and flow testing. So what have you found? I mean, you're taking these cores and you're going to do the desorption test work on site to find out what the coal saturation percentage is?
Yeah, so there are a number of tests that will be done. So the well's been drilled to total depth of about a kilometre. The next step is the logging side of things, where you run what's called a BMR tool, a boron magnetic resonance tool, and that effectively looks at gas content. So what is the makeup of the gas that's on the coals? We'll also, as you said, be doing desorption work, and follow that up with a drill stem test as well. So the DST tool we've brought in from Australia, and that'll be occurring over the next week or so. And what the drill stem test will do is look at the permeability of the coals, which is another sort of critical factor in terms of commercialization. So you're looking at a high level of methane in the gas. You're chasing highly permeable coals. The ability of the gas to flow through the coals is very important. And then there's also a thing called isotherm analysis that will be done, and that takes a little bit longer because coal core that we've taken from the well will need to be likely be shipped back to Australia and analysed. And the isotherm testing effectively says what is the capability of the coal in terms of how much gas can it hold. So once we've understood how much gas it could hold, we'll have a look at how much gas is there, and then we can see whether the coals are saturated or undersaturated. And all of this builds the profile for moving forward with commerciality and pilot production.
So, Chris, I suppose the first flow tests from these wells will be water, and the rate at which the water flows is going to be a good indicator of the permeability of those coals.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, we'll be doing a pilot production test in the second half of this year, and as you've said, that test will be effectively a dewatering process. There might be some gas that comes up the wellbore, but predominantly it will be having a look at how many barrels of water per day that we're getting out of the well. And, you know, if we're getting good levels of water, that means there's high permeability and good pressure, and that's what we're chasing.
Yeah, and once the pressure gets down to a certain level, once you've pumped enough water, all of a sudden the gas starts desorbing from the coals, and bingo, it starts to ramp up very quickly. And I know in Australian experience, these wells, coal seam gas wells, continue to the growth of gas production continues for over 3 years, and some of them have gone up to like 3 million cubic feet a day of gas, you know, from over a three-year period.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And then they can flow for 20 to 30 years. I mean, the gas levels drop off, but you're right. I mean, 3 million standard cubic feet a day is a good well for a coal seam gas well. We'll likely be drilling vertical wells here. In Queensland, there's a lot of lateral horizontal wells that are drilled into thinner coal seams. But we'll likely do vertical wells. But yeah, absolutely, anything from 2 to 3 million scuffs of gas a day is a great result.
I know in the Powder River Basin in the United States, where they began this technology, they were delighted if they got 250,000 cubic feet a day. So
yes,
the technology's come a long way ahead, and really depends on the price of gas, which we can talk about in a moment. So, what's the program now? You've got this first well. Over the next 6 to 10 months, what sort of activity are you going to continue to drill these data wells, and then you're going to set up a pilot project with 4 pilot holes?
Yeah, look, correct. So we have a 6-well program approved at the moment. 4 of those wells will be extensively cored. 2 of the wells will be drilled. We'll core through the main seams and then case the wells, so put metal casing down, and they'll be integral to the pilot program. One of the wells will be used as the pilot production well. The other well will be an observation well. Now, we still haven't approved it, but we ideally, as part of year 2 and possibly bringing that forward, we might drill another 2 wells and case those. So ideally we'll have 4 cased wells for the pilot production program, and 1 well will be producing and the other 3 wells will be observing how that well is interacting with the coal seams from the observation wells. They'll have gauges downhole, which will give us a lot of information about the pool, the interconnectivity of the various seams, so which is all pretty important. So that's the plan, is pilot production from around mid-year to certainly at least the back end of this year, maybe early into 2023.
Sure. So, Chris, what's your company's budget for this year for that work?
So that work, I mean, in total is, for the six well programs, around about $2 million. The wells are certainly not as expensive to drill in Mongolia as they are here in Australia. But at the same time, they take a little bit longer. The rigs don't tend to have the same amount of horsepower as the rigs here in Australia. So it's around about $2 million, but we'll also ideally be pulling some of that forward as we look to possibly add another couple of wells. It's also worth noting that we originally just had the one drilling contractor, and because of the positive results that we've seen from Red Lake 1, we'll be looking to, or we've effectively engaged a second drilling contractor. So we should be spudding a couple of wells over the coming 1 to 2 weeks, which is, again, pretty exciting.
Very economical drilling compared to what it costs in Australia. And I know where you are in the Gobi is sort of fairly remote. So what's the potential markets for the gas? I mean, domestic power, you were talking about earlier, is there any opportunity to, if you had enough gas, to start piping it across the border into China, or what sort of prices might be expected?
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, our main focus is on Mongolia as it currently stands, and will certainly be, once we get the pilot production going, if we have enough gas to actually get to a local market, we do have a gas distributor who has expressed an interest in taking on any gas that they can. We also have the Tavan Tolgoi coal mine there. They run a lot of diesel gen sets, so we could easily put a small pipeline to Tavan Tolgoi. And also there's local townships. There's, I hope I pronounce this correctly, but Dalan Zagad, which is a small town of about 15,000 people. So the opportunity to set up a small processing plant, a small gas-fired electricity plant is quite realistic. You can get skid-mounted ones. So I think initially we'll certainly focus regionally. Should we commercialise the whole of the field itself? One TCF of gas is a lot of gas. Likely there would need to be a big investment in infrastructure, pipeline, possibly up to Ulaanbaatar. Ulaanbaatar is currently serviced by three aging coal-fired power stations. So ideally, if we could get gas up to Ulaanbaatar, then a new gas-fired power station would be, I guess, a first port of call. And then if there was excess gas beyond the needs of Ulaanbaatar, then we could certainly look at northern China as well.
Well, that's great, Chris. What can shareholders and investors look forward to over the next 6 months in terms of news flow?
Well, I think there's just a constant flow of wells being drilled. You know, some of the wells that we're drilling are obviously near historic wells, so really confirming information. But we do have a couple that are step outs that I guess will be slightly higher risk in that we won't be as confident about what we intersect. So there will be a lot of information around the coring of these wells, what we're seeing in terms of gas-bearing coals. There will also be a lot of information around the permeability of the coals, the gas saturation that we have of the coals, which is going to be very important from a commerciality perspective. And then we've got the contingent resources that we'll be looking to book over the area that we're currently drilling. So Yeah, so like plenty of news. We're also always on the lookout for other permits within Mongolia itself. So hopefully that's a watch this space.
Well, that's fantastic, Chris. You're going to be very busy, and we'll look forward to having you back in July or August, and you've got some more drilling results under your belt, and we can have a better look at the resources that are likely. So thanks for coming into Rockyarn today, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later in the year.
Great. Thanks, Peter.